North Carolina adopt Equal Rights Amendment, Senate Bill 782, a bill that Senator McKissick will come forward and bring the conversation that he has filed over and over and over again. But today is our day. The stars have lined up, and we stand ready to push for North Carolina to be the state to make the NRA happen. North Carolina Democrats believe that it is of utmost importance to build a stronger economy. There has never been a more pressing time to act on what we believe in and fight for the best futures for ourselves, our sisters, and our daughters. These pieces of legislation will not only positively impact women, it will strengthen our economies and our communities and every citizen within them. It is the right choice to improve the future of our state and demonstrate the values we hold dear to our hearts: equality, economic prosperity, and justice. Whether you are working for a member of the North Carolina General Assembly, whether you are a pregnant mother at the North Carolina Correctional Facility for Women, or a farmer on a sweet potato field in eastern North Carolina, we stand in advocacy for you on today, for you to have access to a transparent workplace harassment filing procedure. You deserve to have a healthy childbirth, regardless of your incarceration status, and this should be the absolute baseline for how we treat our citizens. We are happy you are here today, and we're going to turn it over to Senator Floyd McKissick to come and discuss the Equal Rights Amendment, and then we will have other members of the legislature and our guests to talk about the shackling prohibition, and then last we will have the workplace harassment policy.
I'm Senator Floyd McKissick of the 20th Senatorial District, including Durham and Granville counties. I want to thank Senator Smith for her leadership, as well as Senator Van Dyne and all my other colleagues in both the Senate and the House for their great and tremendous leadership coming here on issues that not only in the best interest of women, but they're in the best interest of us as a legislative community, as a society, and they embrace principles that we can all feel comfortable with. This Equal Rights Amendment is something which I felt very, very strongly about for many years. I filed this bill previously. I think it's extraordinarily timely that we are moving forward at this particular point in time. Last year, Nevada was the 36th state to go ahead and pass the ERA. Just yesterday, Illinois became the 37th state. To be ratified as a part of the Constitution, it takes 38 states. North Carolina could seize the opportunity and be the 38th state. We could then put on our license tag, champion for equal rights for all.
Wow.
Champion for humanity. That's what we want to be about. How can we be first in freedom when we won't embrace the ERA? ERA is basic. It basically says that there are equal rights for all people in our society. Why should women be singled out and not have equal opportunities in the eyes of the court when it comes to a variety of cases? Why should women be subjected to not being compensated equally for equal work? Why would we, any of us, stand for the fact that women on average earn 78 cents for every dollar that a man earns? There was another bill that I filed last year that dealt with this wage comparability issue. It would have had us adopt a law similar to one in Massachusetts, which requires not just equal pay for equal work, but it would prohibit any applicant from a job from having to disclose their prior pay. Why? Because when people have to disclose their prior pay, it influences what they're offered for a new position that comes along. A bill of that nature wouldn't be necessary if we had ERA. We need equal rights for all. It's unconscionable that it's even a point of conversation and discussion. It's almost inconceivable that in the year 2018 this is debatable. Some people say if women get paid equally, it could lead to employers having to lay people off. It could lead to the marketplace being disrupted. I guess these are the same people that would not have supported the abolition of slavery because it undermined an economy. But this won't undermine anybody's economy. In those states where we've seen wages increase because of minimum wage laws, it's only increased prosperity for all. As Senator Smith Ingram mentioned, about 42-43% of African-American heads of households that are women, they're out there struggling and in poverty. If you look at what the percentage is in terms of the total population, about 35.6% of our population in this country, are head of households that are where women are the people who are the breadwinners. Women are the breadwinners, and they are 5.4% more likely to live in poverty. We should be concerned about the quality of life that those mothers are able to provide. We should be concerned about the children that they are caring for. We should be concerned that they have equal access to all the necessities of life that a good job and a good income can bring. The Equal Rights Amendment will take us one step closer to being a more fair and a more just society. The Equal Rights Amendment is absolutely necessary and imperative. If we, as a country, are true to the principles that we have embodied in our Constitution, well, we discuss and we say that we embrace equal access, equal rights for all. It's time that that Constitution had meaning beyond what it has today. It needs to have a clause that specifically identifies and embraces equal rights for women. It's the right thing to do, and it's past time that we did it. I hope North Carolina will become that 38th state. I hope that we will see a constitution for our country that truly embodies the principles that we articulate, because all of our citizens, regardless of gender, deserve equal rights in the eyes of the law. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you for being here. My name is Terry Van Dyne, and I represent District 49 in the North Carolina Senate. And I just want to take a quick opportunity to thank my constituent and friend, Roberta Madden, who has been working on this issue for decades and who literally grabbed me, I think, 5 minutes after I was sworn in to tell me that there was still a path for ratification of the ERA. And I want to thank Senator McKissick for allowing me to work with him on the bills that have been filed since I've been in the legislature. We have labor and civil rights laws on the books. While some of them may not go far enough, we need to ensure that we're connecting the dots here. We need to make sure these laws are being enforced and respected. And we need practices in place to make sure that happens. Last year, in 2014, an executive order connecting those dots was revoked. The Trump administration threw out a federal order that prevents private companies with a history of civil rights violations from receiving government contracts. The fight for equality has always been a two-step forward, one-step back process. We can't say that we support women in the workplace and that we support equal rights if we don't back it up with serious policies. When we have more women in positions of power, we see groundbreaking, innovative ideas come to fruition. For example, one of my personal heroes, Mrs. Frances Perkins, was elected by President Franklin Roosevelt to be the nation's first female cabinet member. As the longest-serving Secretary of Labor, she was widely recognized for inspiring and implementing new programs and policies, such as Social Security and the 40-hour work week, the child labor ban, and unemployment relief. Women get it done. And we will continue to advocate for better, safer working conditions and equality in and out of the workplace. I want to say directly to the 2.4 million women working in North Carolina and to everyone in North Carolina, regardless of gender, that we have your back and we have the bills to back it up. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator McKissick. Thank you, Senator Terry Van Dyne, for your hard work on advancing the Equal Rights Amendment. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we're happy to open up for a few questions, if there are any. Yes.
What committees would you expect these bills to go to, and have you spoken to chair people? Do you have any expectation of their hearing?
In terms of the Equal Rights Amendment, Senator Van Dyne, which committee would that likely be advanced through?
It might be Judiciary. And in all honesty, there's been tremendous hostility for this initiative. I can't really explain why. But ordinarily I would love to have a Republican co-sponsor. But none of those Republicans that I approached were willing to carry any water on this issue.